Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company, back in studio. You heard it, Findlay Toyota Studios. Willie Ramirez is here, Griffin is here. Enjoy the setting, Willie, while you can, because coming up within 2 weeks, like if people heard the show yesterday, Marquee at Cosmopolitan, we're going to be on the road throughout the football season.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get, you know, crazy spots. We got our regular spots at the end of the week with Treasure Island and Circa, and those are crazy spots too on a football Friday and on Thursday at Stadium Swim. But yeah, we're going to be busy. This is going to be a really good football season. And I got to tell you, coming out of the gates, first of all, let me give you the fist bump.
Okay.
Right? To Willie. Willie makes my job really easy. I'm sure Griffin sees this now. No, dude, your prep today was awesome. We have so many cool things to get into. So I just want to say to you, we don't point out how the show is put together, but you guys send over stories. And no, today was a big help because these are busy times for all of us, right? I was out at UNLV football this morning. We'll get into that a little bit. And it's good times, man. Yesterday was fun, poolside at Marquee. My first concern, though, with Willie is last week, we had some health issues in studio. I thought you might be questionable for Cofield and Company today. I thought it was a calf injury. It was a hammy.
Mm-hmm.
You started freaking out a little bit. You drank like a full bottle of water.
Slammed it.
Is everything okay? Because now are you on some sort of treatment program? Are you ingesting something? What's happening here?
No. Everything's cool. I think it was just because I had done legs that morning. And they were just reacting because it was the first time back in the studio after a long time, the long drive, you know, with the stadium tour I took. You're talking about the Cofield & Company tour. I took a stadium tour. So, I mean, I just, you know, up, down here in the studio, and it just cramped up on me. It was no big deal. I went into the blue tent, got the rub down from the masseuse. We're all good to go. Today was pull day. Griffin and I have already covered what he lifted, what I did, so we've already covered gym etiquette as far as our gym conversation, I should say. What he did, what I did. If anything goes spasm wise for me, it'll be my back today.
Okay,
but I doubt that's going
to
happen.
Fair warning. Okay, well, if you have to do the show on your back on the floor, there's a very hard floor. So
yeah,
Adam Hill found that out years ago. We have to tell old stories every once in a while. I'm not going to tell it now, but Adam, we had a full Nelson challenge. We have listeners come in and try to put Adam in a full Nelson. And Adam's, you know, he's like 6'4 and north of 300 pounds. So he's, you know, he's kind of big up top.
Whoa,
and
easy
he couldn't. He is. He couldn't. He was tough to get in a full Nelson. And then some guy came in who was actually bigger than him. Like was like 6'5. Like
Vic Taper?
270. No. Like in shape. Jiu-jitsu guy. And that resulted in Adam not only being put in a full Nelson, but being kind of put out and then driven into the floor. And this is a nice hard floor. I actually wasn't here.
Oh,
I was at UFC Vest Research Crew. See if I'm on point here. I was at UFC 63, right? So for all those people out there who are like, Cofield just started covering MMA. Okay. UFC 63, I was outside Staples in L.A., and I had no idea what the hell was going on. And then I hear like, oh, like he, you know, everyone in the studio yelled. And I'm like, okay, what's going on?
Man down. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, the good news is.
So the floor is hard. So your back is jacked.
If whatever. I mean, it was a good workout. I have started implementing something new in the supplements. So this week.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
I'm always curious about supplements that you guys take, the InShape guys, and how disciplined you are. I think you're pretty disciplined about taking it. I literally can't remember to take like a couple of like fiber spoonfuls and throw it in a coffee.
Yeah,
I just thought about it. I'm like, you're taking apparently shark cartilage. I can't remember to take two scoops of powder and put it in a drink of a cup of coffee.
I take an over 50 male multi-pack every day.
What?
I found a good one.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mr.
One. There's a Miss One, and then there's Mr. One. And this one covers everything. Basically, you get your multi, you get your liver cleanse, your blood pressure. You get it's all, there's like six pills. You get your fish oil, your omegas type. So anyway, I get that. I'm not big on and Jordan and I with the Perfect Gym, like, we're not big on a lot of when you see people taking all of those different, you know, this, that. I mean, there are specific things when it comes to minerals, but for protein and fiber, he's not big on saying, okay, when he makes a meal plan, make sure you drink this protein shake at this time, blah, blah, blah. That's a bonus. You get your protein from the meat. You get your fiber from the green vegetables. And if you hit those numbers, you'll see the same results as if what you're trying to get when you're putting that fiber in your coffee. You'll stay regulated. So anyway, I implemented shark cartilage.
The biggest concern right now is the regulated part.
Simply because before I left, I had both knees shot with cortisone, and I was coming off of a knee injury, and I just wanted to get back in the squat rack. So I've been re-implementing the leg program, and what I want to make sure is that the joints stay lubricated, because a couple of years ago had half the meniscus removed. Shark cartilage helps and lubricates the joints. Comes from the shark fin. It's supposed to be very healthy, very good.
It's good. It doesn't jack you up in any way. Your body doesn't.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Okay. It's got to do with joints. It's not like that. Okay. I shoot testosterone because I'm prescribed by the doctor.
All right, here we go.
So yeah,
this is exactly. By the way, this is exactly what we want. Yeah. Now we have added to the company, so we've got Knives Zaragoza, Alex White. They hurt the effort of the highest weighted sports talk show in the country, right? Not highest rated, but highest weighted. Mm-hmm. But you come back as a dude who's lifting. You're still over 200, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what's the lowest you can get? What's the lowest you've been recently?
Super Bowl week, 196.
No.
I had dropped 22 pounds.
No. That's it. Okay, we got to.
I'm going sub 200.
You're like an old lineman. You can't. It's there's. We got to wait. Well, we don't have a weight limit, obviously, but we have a minimum, okay?
No, we're going to average down.
You're not going. Every guy on the show is a regular. We'll see about Candy. We got to fix that. We got to get him bulked up. But Griffin's like 250 plus. Okay, that's it.
I'm gonna 195. I'll get to, and then we'll curtail that.
Not on. All right. So here's what's coming up this week, right? Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to be at Battleborne Injury Lawyers with our buddy Justin Watkins. Thursday we're going to be out for Ultimate Contest Weekend. The entire station group is going to have different spots out there with live shows. Mm-hmm. Press Box, Q Myers, and Unnecessary Roughness. I think Morning Tailgate's going to be out there. We're going to be at Circa for a big Radio Row they're doing in the Galaxy Ballroom. And people can come out and see the show. And see the shows, because it's not just us. It's like 30 different stations, podcasts from around the country who are going to be out there. And it all leads to, obviously, sign up for the big contest at Circa. Circa Survivor. Circa Million.
Mm.
And they're going to have a big seminar with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire, Frank Schwab from Yahoo, former NFL running back Willis McGahee, and then one of the newer voices at Circa Sports, Jamie Pileggi. And we'll have Erickson on later this hour. But it's going to be cool. It's going to be really another cool meetup down at Circa to be around football experts and get ready for the football season and their two big contests, which combined have a guaranteed $16 million on the line.
Jamie who?
Pileggi. He's new. He's been there like 3 years. We had him on last week.
Is he related to Nicholas Pileggi?
I have no idea.
You know who Nicholas Pileggi is?
No.
Nicholas Pileggi is the person who wrote the book in which the movie Casino was based upon.
Oh, okay.
So.
He's from Pittsburgh and San Diego. So.
Well, yeah. Nicholas Pileggi wrote Wise Guy.
Okay.
Became a number one bestseller, and it turned into Martin Scorsese's movie Casino that, of course, chronicled Frank Rosenthal, Tony Spilotro, the mob, sure, the greatest times of Las Vegas. So you will be happy to know something that we couldn't talk about while on days I was on is I have decided, I've enlisted Adam Hill as a consultant on this a couple times, and he's guiding me along slowly. But to aid me in the show and give me another thing to talk about, I am going to, just for the fun of it, free, no paid, I'm going to join one fantasy league this year.
Oh, wow.
I did it years ago, but I just never got into fantasy football, but I'm going to do it to force myself to pay a little more attention to specific, you know, players deeper in. And I talked to Adam, and we had to talk about it. He said, yeah, absolutely, it's going to for the reasons that I laid out. He said, do it. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff's got some snitches. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, some other value plays, some overrated guys, and then how fantasy football and fantasy sports in general can parlay into sports betting.
Mm.
So college football right around the corner with week zero here. There's a handful of games, a lot of FCS. And we're hearing about a lot of decisions around the country on quarterback because a bunch of schools brought in transfer quarterbacks. They may had a mix with another experienced guy. We saw Boise yesterday went with Maddox Mattson, the veteran, over the five-star USC transfer in Malachi Nelson. People flipped out. It'll be okay. I talked about it yesterday. There's a video up at Steve Cofield. If you look on the thread, I also asked Barry Odom about dealing with expectations and how you tell quarterbacks, hey, this is the deal. Here's the starter, and not have the other guys go off the deep end, right? And then want to transfer or flip out. So speaking of transferring, Jade Maiava is at USC, and Miller Moss was the holdover kind of starter. He got to play at the end of the year, right? Caleb Williams, NFL, I'm not playing in the bowl game. Miller Moss played well in the bowl game. And it's a mixed bag with UNLV fans. I understand this is an emotional thing when players leave your school and go onward and upwards. I don't really understand the anger, but I know why it happens. So there are a lot of people who are rooting against Jade Maiava. I think it's a feather in the cap of UNLV that they have players who are being coveted by other schools, and Maiava landed at Southern Cal, Willie. Alani Makaeli, who I don't know if he was going to start at offensive line this year on offensive line, he landed at UCLA. Jare Williams is at Washington State. Ricky Johnson is at Michigan. And there are others. Charlie Williams, a tight end, landed with Dion at Colorado. Kids are going to do what they want to do, and especially if there's some cash involved. It's hard to turn down offers, right?
Absolutely.
You only have a finite time you can play college football. So I hope Maiava eventually wins the job. So yesterday was interesting. It was all these announcements. Miller Moss has won the job. Named starter by Lincoln Riley. I'm like, wait, I thought this was a given. And I've been told by a lot of UNLV fans, Maiava's an idiot. Why did he go to USC? He has no chance to play. He has a chance to play. Now, in every story I read, the funny thing was not one person, writer, tweeter, mentioned Miller Moss beating out someone specific. I'm like, he won the job, but you don't know who he beat?
Right.
Kind of interesting.
It was, and I saw it. And the problem for me in not wanting to or not doing it in who he beat was I was going to be very snarky about it. So instead, I was snarky on our rundown and how I labeled it.
Yeah.
And that is that USC has a six-figure backup quarterback. The Raiders have a $1 million backup quarterback on this year's cap hit, AOC.
Mm-hmm.
USC has a six-figure quarterback making half that, or reportedly, allegedly, that's what he's getting.
Yeah.
Because from my understanding in the phone call that took place right before the bowl game last year, Barry Odom was, or his somebody from the staff, basically someone took a call and said, Maiava has $500,000 on the table from Georgia. If you don't come up with that, he's gone. So that's why he was originally going there.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he ended up at USC. So whether they matched it or a little bit more and it was more enticing, I don't know. But if my sources are correct, then that is what he's making at least. So I'm sure he's fine with it. And at the same time, he'll get some playing time. He will see some action, especially with the move to the Big Ten. This is not going to be the, you know, cookies and cream going over to the Big Ten. And it's just not an easy transition from the guy that just got the QB1 job with the Chicago Bears. So, I did see that, and I did notice that. It stood out that nobody mentioned who he beat. I wanted to do it, but like I said, I wanted to be snarky, and I just said, I'm just not going to do it at all.
We'll talk about this coming back a little bit because I don't agree with you on the reported numbers, and I want to clarify what I've heard. Not that I have any great source on this, but sometimes these numbers get blown up way beyond what they really are, and there's a purpose behind that.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Week zero of college football. So we get a chance here the next couple weeks to find out how many of these transfers around the country won starting jobs, especially a quarterback. And we'll have comments on it, but you know what it means in the end? Not a whole lot. Because if you win a job, you may not hold on to a job. There may be a grand plan to move someone else in there for you. There could be a fast rising person on the roster. Most real football programs have multiple options at every position. So this is just the beginning, and it is a long, long season. But Willie and I were talking about Jaden Maiava, who moved on to USC. Originally was going to go to Georgia. Former UNLV quarterback, breakout dude last year as a redshirt freshman. And we were just talking about NIL and how crazy it gets with the reported numbers. Don't believe everything you read. Willie said something to open the show. You were talking about like half a mil, and then we were talking during a break. There was a little clarification on that. And we're at about the same number about what he actually got per season.
Yes.
Because you were talking about an overall deal.
Right.
So
I was talking about what was on the table on the whole. You were talking about
Per season.
Yeah.
Maiava's going to be here with Miller Moss. Both of the quarterbacks are, we think, the top two quarterbacks. Starter is Moss. They'll be here next weekend, right? Kickoff game, Las Vegas kickoff game brought to you by Modelo. And we'll see what they have. LSU's tough. And LSU's a pretty healthy favorite. So that's a good opening game and a wake-up call for USC. I mean, they're already accustomed to playing big-time football. I will say, though, and I'm going to keep saying it, and I guess I'll get my teeth kicked in. Maybe we'll know by week four. I think you got to let it play out the whole season. But I do think the Pac-4, Willie, that are going into the Big Ten, USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon, are going to play some good offense, and I think they're going to wake some people up. I actually, when looking at all the starters, I actually believe Maiava is the number 11 quarterback in the Big Ten, and he's not starting. And funny enough, Griffin, you were here. Yogi Roth came on, and Yogi covered the Pac-12 for a long time. Now he's a Big Ten guy. He's working for the Big Ten. And I hadn't talked to him at all, but he said basically the same thing. He's like, there are multiple backups in the Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA that are better than Big Ten starting quarterbacks. The Big Ten has had a history of it's top heavy. There's five or six good quarterbacks, if that, and then the rest are caretakers to the offense. So,
well, and we know that Big Ten. I mean, you think about it, right? What's the phrase always been used since we were growing up, right? The corn-fed boys from the Midwest, right? I mean, Nebraska was always in the Big 12, but right down the middle of the country, whether it was Big Ten or Big 12, it was the corn-fed boys on the line, battle of the trenches, or the stinging defenses. So it's not necessarily always been known as a quarterback-heavy conference. So you're right. The fast, up-tempo Pac-12 style of football is going to electrify. It's a matter of the clash between, that smash-mouth Big Ten style versus the up-tempo West Coast offense from the Pac-12. That's going to be the exciting part. It's going to be those Saturday night games, that Pac-12 after dark games that are now going to be Big Ten after dark when they come out to the West Coast. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to the Vegas Kickoff Classic. I'll be actually working for the Classic. Same role that I do with the Las Vegas Bowl. I'll be doing for that as the committee, it's the same. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fantastic. We broke the news, by the way. Don't forget, Cofield and Company, that USC LSU, when we were on location, it was Adam and I with Cicenti on location. So we did break that the Kickoff Classic was coming. Just, I'll always make sure to remind you that.
You have to. When you have victories, take the lap. Why not? One last thing on the Maiava deal at USC and Miller Moss winning the job. I had a chance to text a little bit with one of Arash's guys, Fredo. Not that Fredo. But Fredo covers USC.
Fredo
Cervantes. And I said, hey, what's the deal with Maiava? Was it close or is he distant? He said, it was actually pretty close. He said, Jaden surprised a lot of people at USC or has since arriving. And Miller's advantage is that he knows Riley's system.
Makes sense.
So, and he was saying going over to USC right now, and so we'll see what he says up on Twitter about what Riley said about the quarterback decision. So, I'm rooting for the kid. I hope he does well. I hope he kicks ass. I hope he gets a starting job. But I do understand the emotions of losing guys. Believe me, I have a school that I root for. But here's the thing: I'm desensitized now. I'm so much older than most fans that if my school, Rutgers, loses a guy, and actually they have a pretty good retention rate. So, but if they lose a guy, what are you going to do, right? You can be all mad at him, wish him the worst. It's stupid. It's counterproductive.
I'm rooting for him because he's a Vegas guy.
That too. Yep. Totally.
And Rich Morocco's a friend of the show.
364-1100, caller 7-364-1100. We got tickets to the opening game for the Rebels as they play Utah Tech. That is the home opener. Next week is the game at Houston to open the season. But Saturday the 7th, it's a noon start. So all those folks out there who, you know, want the daytime games on Saturday, you got one here. Allegiant Stadium, UNLVtickets.com is where you go to get your tickets. Griffin's got a pair right now, 364-1100. Want to remind people, season tickets still available. They're setting records. They want to blow away the previous records. You can buy season tickets for as low as $150 a seat. You get six games in that package. You get the same seat for every game. The club seating starts at $375, right?
Yep.
And that's a great deal for those games. And again, you get the same seat. And it's a really aggressive, you know, good home schedule this year. So take advantage of it. UNLVtickets.com.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Just get into Cofield and Company here to Tuesday. Willie G is in. Griffin, Willie G. Ramirez, Finley Toyota Studios. We just gave away some UNLV tickets for the home opener against Utah Tech. We'll have more of those in the 4 or 5 hour. We're already behind, Willie. We're already behind. Today's National Radio Day. We got a lot of ACES stuff coming up later on.
Happy National Radio Day.
What does that make you think of? I figured you had some spiel you wanted to throw out there about radio.
I was just looking to see what days it was. What was the other one that I put on, I sent to the
National radio? Bacon Day. That's coming
National
up at 4:35.
National Bacon Lovers Day. So, and then I saw that, and I was like, well, when I see it, I don't think of anything specific. But now it triggers sports talk, and it triggers this show, and it triggers how much growth sports in this town has meant to sports talk, whereas in the past – there was a big dependence on national radio, and I mean, I remember the days of Papa Joe and Seat Williams and the late, great Dave Koken, and really, there wasn't much else, the Stardust line. But, you know, when I see that and I think of our town, I think of, you know, the growth and what sports has meant to sports talk. I mean, I could go on and on with the growth of every aspect, well, not every, but a lot of aspects that have touched sort of my life, if you will, when it comes to radio in this town, from KUNV to the very first Magic Mix with live mixes on the radio in the old school days of, you know, hip hop and whatnot. And there's lots of things. We talked about a funny incident when I was DJing back in the late 80s and early 90s, just earlier before we went on the air, and we were doing a live remote, and they went out to Tarkanians, the old Tarkanians on Maryland Parkway. And I can't remember the guy's name. It was Johnny something. It was like the old Johnny Fever of WKRP, but it was a Johnny something in 97.1 when it was a hip-hop station. And they said, we're gonna go out live to Johnny's out there with DJ Rob and Willie Will. What's going on out there? And so he says, oh, you know, we're at Tarkanians, getting ready for the big event. Pop, 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 pop. Willie, what do you think? He was like, oh, I'm just waiting for everybody to get out here. He's like, what do you mean? Everybody's already out here.
So, join the crowd. Only a few spots left. A
lot of big things in radio in this town. I've seen the growth. What do you think of?
Well, I think of the growth of sports talk radio. I think of what I first started listening to, how I've shaped myself in terms of personality, how big sports talk radio is with listeners around the country. Right, it really is an important part of driving conversation, and sometimes we get crazy. But in certain towns, it really does drive things to the point where owners, and I think these are kind of, on one hand, I think some owners need a kick in the ass. So to have the local sports talk host and callers crushing you does force change. I wouldn't listen to everything that we do on Sports Talk Radio and go, we got to change. I think that's why the New York Giants are a weak organization, because they do. You saw it in that Hard Knocks, that they were way too worried about, like, what's going to be the reaction when Saquon potentially leaves? We got to deal. Like, stop. Stop. Like I say all the time, I think we have some significance, but we're pipsqueaks in the you know, the big picture, don't punch down, right?
Yep.
Don't worry about what the local media is saying. If you're a good organization and you trust your decisions, then stick with it.
It's become your mantra lately. Don't punch down.
You've said I love don't punch down.
You've said that a lot lately.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because there are times to fight.
I might get you a hoodie for Christmas.
Well, I mean, but it's all levels. Yeah, that's really good. It's all levels, right? I'm admitting I'm part of the down at times. Don't punch down to me. What do you care?
Yeah. You punched down when the very first time you walked by me at the Mountain West tournament.
Well, I grunted and looked at you because I didn't like you. And the only reason I didn't like you is that you were part of an overall annoyance for me. And that was at Mountain West Conference, the basketball tournament. We're tied into the Mountain West now for since I've been around for freaking 20 years. Mm. And then we do broadcast out there, ticket giveaways. And then I'd get there and I'm like, there's no God seat.
Oh, you had no seat.
That's right. What it was. Yeah, you were like sitting in one of the seats and I was like, ugh.
Right.
I mean, I can be a child. But
we hadn't really known one another, and you didn't realize.
Not at all.
You didn't realize that I had actually been retained by the conference, so it wasn't a seat.
So you were working with them too.
Yes. I was.
I'm a horse's ass.
I was in cahoots.
I'll admit that. But the other times I used don't punch down. God dang it! I can't remember in the last couple of weeks there was some.
You used it last week.
No, there was some. There was some athlete or organization or coach flipping out about something in the media, and it's like, why are you wasting? Oh, Dion, the whole Dion thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
dude,
yeah,
what are
yeah.
you
That's
doing?
It. That's it. We talked about
making
that.
Millions yep. of dollars. Yep. You're an adult. You're freaking Power Four coach.
Yes, yes.
Who cares about the peons from CBS or this guy? And yeah. you don't like us. Who cares?
Right.
You don't like us.
That's exactly what you use it on with me last Tuesday with CBS with Dion and
it's
CBS.
It's stupid, yeah. right? Isn't it? You're so far above. You got so many other things to worry about. There wasn't some sort of smear job. People are doubting you. Keep it internal. Use it to drive your team and your
fuel.
Coaches.
Fuel. Use it for fuel, sure.
So dopey. Wait, we were talking about National Radio Day? So there you go.
Don't punch down.
Well, and the other thing I do with Don't Punch Down is it is really cool to engage on social media, but a lot of times people are just making comments to get a reaction. So, you know, we will address a couple of tweets that Sammy P got. Sam Paniadovich, our gambling insider, laid out what looked like a beautiful spread for a cookout, and he got good reaction. There were like 50 comments, and I'm like, I got to look through this and see who's the first jabroni to be like, oh, the brisket or the pulled pork or the beans or the mac and cheese, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, someone did it. So that's an example of punching down, but it's necessary. We have to teach GRDB1246914 a lesson. That was a joke. Is that when you're punching down, it's someone who doesn't even have the gumption to put their name on the account.
Remember,
and you're like, we're getting all worked up. Like, why?
Now it's
it could be a Russian bot who has, you know, a brisket in their title. They just, every brisket they see, they crap on.
For the longest time, remember in Twitter, the anonymous, if you didn't put your picture, it was an egg?
Yeah.
It was just an egg.
It's egg with three letters and 14 numbers.
Yeah.
I was hoping that you were going to reach that level of petty where you really memorize somebody's username and blasted them on the radio.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we mentioned on Thursday we're going to be out at Circa Las Vegas, Galaxy Ballroom, Radio Row, 30 radio stations, podcasts. We'll be out there for the Ultimate Contest weekend. Let's get into that a little bit with one of the panelists, Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. He's up with Willie and Steve. Jeff? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Real good, real good. We're going to be out there at Circa. We're out there actually weekly, so we love that place. And they just get it. How did you hook up with them so that you're part of this panel coming up on Saturday?
So RotoWire does an annual summer conference in Vegas for the last 20 years. During the all-baseball all-star break, the last three, I think, if not four, have been at Circa. I mean, Derek Stevens loves fantasy football. It makes no bones about it. We're an ideal company to come visit there. We have our drafts there. We've been at Radio Row the last 3 years, too, so we're excited about this weekend. It's a great time. I have Mike Palm on my show every once in a while on SiriusXM Fantasy as well.
Nice. Very nice. All right, well, let's dive into it, and then we want to talk a little betting in relation to fantasy football and fantasy sports and RotoWire. I just did a draft over the weekend. I'm curious, and mine was an auction draft. I'm curious – overall right now, who are the three most coveted guys, three top ADP guys in fantasy football?
Well, it's a weird year because McCaffrey's calf injury has kind of muddled things up along with two wide receiver holdouts. So there's like a pool of seven or eight players, actually, whether it's McCaffrey, you got Breece Hall and Bijan on the wide receiver side, Hill, Lamb, Chase, Jefferson maybe, although after J.J. McCarthy's injury, I see him dropping a little bit, and even Amon-Ra St. Brown. So you can make it a pool of eight. And it really jumbles up every single time. We had in the last week of the NFFC, big high-stakes fantasy football league, series of leagues there, six different players have been the number one overall pick. I haven't seen that in a long time.
The Raiders have two premium guys. One's a rookie because Bowers is going to get drafted relatively high for the potential of what he brings, and Devontae Adams. I'd have to assume right now Adams is not flying off the shelves because of maybe some uncertainty at the Raiders quarterback position. Lots of uncertainty.
Yeah. He's still a solid second-round guy. I mean, let's face it, Adams is going to be a target hog no matter who's throwing it. Usually even, you know, an elite wide receiver, even with a bad quarterback, usually does all right. Just look at DJ Moore's stats over the years, for instance, there. I think I'm happier that it's Minshew instead of O'Connell, to be honest. Although I think that's going to be very fluid in season two. But I think that there'll be a little bit more volume, at least, in with Minshew there. So still think he's a second-round guy.
What about Bowers?
Oh, I like Bowers. He's about my tight end 10, maybe 11 right now. I love what I'm seeing him deployed in that first preseason game in multiple different spots. I do like that quite a bit. I do think, though, that, again, this is where he might get limited a little bit there. You know, rookie tight ends, it's really, really rare to see a 1,000-yard rookie tight end. And I know Bowers is a generational prospect, but so is Kyle Pitts. And Pitts has been dragged down, but for his rookie year. So something to watch for there.
Once again, speaking with Jeff Erickson, RotoWire, going to be a big part of Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend. Jeff, before we get into some of the sleepers and then talk fantasy and turning it into betting, for those that are listening that want to get into fantasy football that haven't, what are some of the tips in terms of sort of simple reminders and maybe how to keep things simple or don't overthink certain things? What are some quick tips for those that are just getting started in the fantasy football field?
That's a great question because, you know, that's our whole goal is to try to bring more people in. Couple things. One, to stay on top of who's where, all the off-season moves, you know, what's changed in the NFL itself. Know who's hurt, know if there's any major serious injuries. Know, for instance, that Justin Herbert, who might be great, still might be great, is probably going to be worth less this year, given that the wide receivers have changed, the head coach has changed. It's going to be a little bit more run-heavy than it's been in the past for the Chargers. So that might drag down his value. Plus, he's coming back from the plantar fascia injury there. We'll see if he's ready for the start of the season. The other thing is to just know your league rules. And the first most basic thing to know is it a 1QB league or is it a super flex league? Because if it's a 1QB league, you're going to see a devaluation of the quarterbacks. And I think if you're new to fantasy football, you're not used to the whole concept of weight on the quarterbacks. You're not used to the notion that, okay, quarterback's the most important position in the NFL, not always the most important position in fantasy. There's not a big difference between 1 through 10, for instance, there. And you don't want to be that guy that's drafting a quarterback in the first round.
And you do want to make sure you get guys who potentially can run the ball. And I don't know, historically from a data standpoint, I don't know if you guys have done this, but I wonder what was the last year that maybe five or six quarterbacks in the NFL could actually rush for 500 yards or more?
Yeah, it's increasingly, you know, it's becoming more and more common. I think it's something that, you know, we've seen enough success in the NFL that we used to point to college and say, oh, that won't work in the NFL. And that has changed quite a bit. There's still plenty of room for an elite pocket passer, but especially from a fantasy perspective, they have to be elite. They have to be throwing 35 touchdown passes. They have to be throwing for 4,000 yards. Otherwise, you're losing out to the running quarterbacks. You saw Caleb Williams being the number one overall pick. You see Jaden Daniels being the number two quarterback there, and that's for a reason. You know, that mobility is now valued a lot more than it's been in the past.
Is there a sleeper that you, Jeff Erickson, like for QB2 that you've been trying to draft?
For QB, well, I've been drafting the rookies. I've been taking a lot of Caleb Williams. I've been taking a lot of Jaden Daniels. If I'm drafting a second quarterback, I'm waiting really late. And I'm probably going, you know, I think you could get Matthew Stafford just in the last round. You could go ahead and get Kirk Cousins in the last round. I mean, these are guys that are just signing, you know, big contracts, stars in the league, but they're not first or second round players. That's the thing that's pretty wild.
Running backs, and I highly recommend RotoWire. Go to rotowire.com. Jeff Erickson is with us. I've been using it for probably, I don't know, 18 or 20 years. I think half of the leagues that I do, baseball and football, you can see people around the table using the draft kits. So you want to sign up, subscribe, and get the draft kits. I mean, it's all feeds you the whole time. You get great stats. There's projections. That's always fun at the end of the draft. Always good, Jeff, when I draft a team and you guys have my team like 11th place. I'm like, okay, I got some work to do. I wanted to ask you about a couple of dual running back situations because I found it pretty interesting in the draft how people approached it. One, yeah, with the Dolphins with A-Chain and Mostert.
Yeah. Well, it's a three-headed monster, too. I think we got to remember the rookie they drafted has a ton of speed, almost as fast as A-Chain. And he's going to get his reps as well. A-Chain goes in the second to third round in most drafts. And I'm not really willing to pay that price, even though I know he can be a weak winner for you. But he just breaks down. Jalen Wright is the third running back, by the way, that I'm referring to. Mostert, you know, everyone's going to say, hey, he's going to regress. There's no way he scores 18 touchdowns again. Correct. That is true. He's still usable. He's still going to get most of the goal line carries because he's the bigger back. He still can catch passes. He also breaks down from time to time, too. And so you're going to have to be on your toes when you roster one of those two players. But you know they're going to be good. And I think Wright is a perfect end game sort of guy. Go 10th or 11th, 12th round to go ahead and add him too.
How about Detroit with Gibbs and Montgomery?
So Gibbs goes at the end of the first round, scored 10 touchdowns despite a part-time role last year, and yet Montgomery is so good at the goal line and gets more goal line carries. I haven't been getting a whole lot of Gibbs, and to my chagrin, I'm a little worried actually. And some of this is where I've been drafting. Some of this is this concern that, you know, how much work is he going to get? He's already had two hamstring issues dating back to minicamp. I do worry about that a little bit. But, man, he's so dynamic. And this Detroit offensive line is so good. And I think that's the thing people don't remember. You got to scout offensive lines as much as you do the running back sometimes.
Read a story, Jeff, in where C.J. Stroud was written as one of the riskiest players to take. Do you agree, number one? Number two, who are some of the riskier players that people should stay away from that may be attractive?
Yeah, that's a good question. So a couple things here. A couple guys that come to mind to me as having a lot of risk. I would say Brandon Ayuk. We don't know where he's going to be. You know, this still hasn't resolved itself. Here we are after two preseason games. We're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with him. You know, if he goes to Pittsburgh, I think that hurts him. I think that's a place where I don't want him to land. Whereas if he stays in San Francisco, we'll take him where he usually goes. But that's one. Go all the way to 1.1 if you want to talk about risk. I'm not saying don't draft Christian McCaffrey, but just be aware of what you're getting into. Calf injuries tend to linger, and McCaffrey has a history of having nagging aches and pains and has played into February the last couple of years. You know, you kind of worry sometimes those extra games, that toll that he takes. You know, they don't really rest him when he does play. He's pretty much a workhorse back. You know, at some point does he break a little bit? So I've been, you know, if I have a chance to choose which draft spot I want, I don't want to draft from the first spot because I think the talent is, a healthy McCaffrey, a full season McCaffrey is clearly the 1.1, but you factor in risk, and I'd almost rather be like 1.7 and get a similar player and get a much better player in the second round. I think that's the really big point. Another risky guy that I would talk about, I'm really concerned about, it's always injuries, guys. The big thing is injury more than anything else. Like Puka Nacua has got a quote unquote little bursa sack thing. Sean McVay played it down. I know Nacua won leagues for you last year. Take a look at his college record. Look at how many games he missed in the past. I need like about a round discount before I click on him.
Ultimate Contest Weekend coming up. Circa Las Vegas. We'll be out there at the Radio Row on Thursday. It's Thursday through Saturday. They're going to have a big football panel. Jeff is part of that. So as a fantasy and roto guy coming in, how do you approach sports betting? How much do you sports bet? And I don't want to be harsh. Like, what's your input to this panel?
No problem. So first of all, I'm all in on Survivor. That's my big thing. Nice. I love the Circa Survivor Contest. I live in California, so technically I can't. And Vegas is pretty happy about that, by the way. We tried to change things out here, and I'm sure, you know, it, it served the casino's interest to make sure that California didn't have sports betting still. There are ways. And there's pick contests, pick apps that you can do that you can play as well. But, I mean, we still talk about it. We still write about it. So I'm not going to have a whole lot of handle on the line here. I'm not a bookmaker. I'm not someone that's going to sell picks. But I do try to observe what's happening in the league.
Yeah, and you can certainly, you have expertise. We're talking about all these individuals. You have expertise on futures. And we may not take all those futures here in Vegas, but around the country they do. We were going to talk about one later with one of our gambling experts, like Roman Dunze. You can get for as low as over under 650 receiving yards. So I think that's one of the things you can address if you want to. What do you think of that one?
Oh, I like that one. I like the over on that one there. Because, it does kind of rely on Caleb Williams being successful. Yeah. But I do think he's going to find a Dunze. I think we saw it in that preseason game against the Bengals on Saturday afternoon. There is a connection there already. And I think the talent is there. It's going to require the Bears having their first 4,000-yard passer, I think, in their history, which is just a wild stat. But I think it happens. He's going to have some aches and pains. We saw that it was like the fourth drive before things started clicking for him against the Bengals on Saturday. But we saw in the first game against the Bills, too, some pretty creative things that they were doing out there. I like the personnel. I would fade Keenan Allen if I was going to fade any of the Bears' pass catchers. Okay.
Jeff, you're the man. We appreciate you stepping up on short notice, and we'll see you out there at Circa Las Vegas this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys.
There he is, Jeff Erickson. RotoWire.com, and I really do mean it when I say I use something. I like RotoWire a lot. It's very easy to use. I'm a big fan of their depth charts, and especially in baseball.